The Rules Administration Committee will come to order.
David.
We have two bills on the agenda, and they're here because of task forces or committees that involve legislators. And it's my understanding that these bills are both being considered in the Finance Committee today as potential inclusions in the omnibus bill. So I thought it was important to review them here and send them over. Senator Anderson, Senate File 3540. Welcome.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and committee members. Senate File 3540 is the Green Economy Transformation Task Force, and this bill has gone through three policy committees, and we actually amended the language. Well, it went through the Energy Committee, the Business and Jobs Committee, and then the Senator Ress State and Local Government Committee, and the language that emerged from the third, the final policy committee is what we amended. We've already amended it into the finance bill, as that was passed out of my division. So it is in the finance bill now, and obviously if this committee chooses to make any amendments, we'll incorporate those changes into the finance bill today when it's heard in Senator Cohen's finance committee. This bill is pretty straightforward. It creates a task force that consists of legislators and public members and state agency representatives, and it sets up some studies that task force will commission. The purpose of this is to take the very strong policies that our state has passed in the area of energy and the environment that's made our state a national leader in those areas. The five policies are the Renewable Energy Standard, the Energy Efficiency Law that we passed last year, authored by Senator Dibble, the Carbon Reduction or Greenhouse Gas Reduction Goals Bill passed last year by Senator Pretner Solon, the Clean Water Legacy Act that is passed into law that Senator Fredrickson was the author of for a number of years, and the 25 by 25 biofuels goal, which is passed into law as well. So you put those five bills together, those represents nation-leading state policies in the area of energy and the environment. And what we want to do this year when we talk, we've talked a lot about green jobs, green-collar jobs, and the green economy. And what we'd like to do is make an intentional effort to take those policies and turn them into good-paying jobs for the citizens of Minnesota and turn them into economic development opportunities for our communities. And so the purpose of this task force is to work with all the relevant stakeholders to put together a specific plan for how we can attract those jobs to our state and create a good home or a good environment. Sorry, I'm sleepy this morning. The sentences aren't coming out quite right. This bill, the task force, as I mentioned, it has legislative members, public members, and state agency members. And besides putting together a plan to help us create a green economy in our state and to lead in that area, the specific charge of the task force on page 2 is to commission three specific studies. And those include a market analysis of the business opportunities and needs that are created by those laws. So, for example, the Renewable Energy Standard creates a demand for some probably 3,000 wind turbines that will need to be manufactured, assembled, and installed or erected in Minnesota. And so this market analysis would look at all the component parts of those turbines to see how what the market needs are, the manufacturing needs, to meet the goals that we've already established in law. And then the second part of the study would analyze the labor force needs. So what workforce would be needed to be able to put those components together, to manufacture the component parts of the turbines?
Okay, so, Senator Anderson, I think we've got the gist of that. Let's just focus on the task force.
Anyway.
It looks like it's 20 people, 12 through the legislature in some fashion, and 8 through the executive branch. Is that correct?
Yes, and the reason for the breakdown, it went through several different iterations. I'm trying to find my cheat sheet here. We ended up with appointments that that we thought would reflect a kind of the partisan breakdown. So I lost the page that lists that. But essentially, 10 appointments from one party and 10 from the other party.
Governor,
we ended up with this number.
Do you have a sense for the executive branch is a willing participant in this? I know we've had other transformation task forces that spend a lot of time doing things. And I think it helps to have a cooperative executive. Is that correct, Senator Berglund?
Usually.
I mean, but genuinely, it does help. And during the summer, their executive branch was cooperative on the health care stuff. We may have a bit of a disagreement now, but there was a lot of productive work because of that. So do you have a sense that the executive branch wants to participate or not?
Absolutely. I've heard, I guess Deed's official position in committee when they testified was that they were neutral on it. But I know they, Deed and Commerce, are very interested in this same topic. And so no one's expressed any opposition to this bill. And I just want to introduce my witnesses. I don't know if you need any testimony today, but I have with me Lynn Hinkle from, who worked at the Ford plant for many years in St. Paul and for the UAW, and Bernie Hess from the United Food and Commercial Workers, and we've had a lot of support from labor and environment. Thank you.
Welcome, gentlemen. I don't know that we're going to need testimony. I think we just want to focus on the makeup of the task force. Senator Bond.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Senator Henderson, the members appointed by the Senate, historically, aren't they appointed by the subcommittee and committees? What's the thought with the change, the majority leader and the minority leader?
Mr. Chair, Senator Bach, I think we started out that way, as you suggested, but Senator Rest's committee likes to do it a little bit differently, and their tradition has been to have the majority party appoint the majority members and the minority leader appoint the minority members. And so that was the amendment that was made in Senator Rest's committee. And I'm comfortable with that. I think it's appropriate for the minority party to select their own representatives.
And then on the back side, you've got, I noticed that too, Senator Bach. On the backside, then you've got public members appointed by the subcommittee on committees. Senator Clark was just mentioning that Senator Rest had talked to her and said this is where her committee wanted to head when you do the minority-majority members.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'm not exactly sure exactly how that came about, but there was a couple of different ones that were going through education, and one of the things that was talked about was some interest in, and Senator Senjum here could probably speak to it, on the part of the not needing to convene the committee to be able to be making the appointments and that type of thing. But we had a couple of different ones in education that actually came back different from council than I originally anticipated, mirroring, I guess, the way that it is in this particular bill at this point.
Mr. Watson, are you're Senator Rest committee, correct?
Mr. Chairman, I do election law. I don't do
so you don't know
government.
I mean, I think the committee and subcommittee on committees is the way we've been doing things.
I think so.
So why don't we, Senator Bach moves on line. Senator Anderson, is that okay with you?
Well, Mr. Chair, I guess there's a conflict between how the committees want to do things. So
since
you're the last committee, you get to decide.
I'll talk to Senator Rest, but let's do subcommittee on committees. She at one point mentioned something to me why she wanted to alter that, but we can do that next year maybe if that's the right thing to do. But Senator Bach moves on line 1.14, changing majority leader and minority leader on the Senate appointments to the boilerplate subcommittee on committees. Two from the majority, one from the minority. Members understand the amendment? Discussion on the Bach Amendment. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted. Okay, 20 members. That's a lot of people. Is that going to work? You seem pretty happy with it.
Mr. Chair, I think it's a good bill. We had a green manufacturing task force appointed by the mayors of Minneapolis and St. Paul that worked over the last summer, and this sort of piggybacks on their work and is the next phase of the work that needs to be done. That was a pretty large task force, but it was very productive. And, I think if members are focused on the job to be done, I think you can have really good results. So I don't think it's too big.
Senator Frederickson moves that Senate File 3540. as amended, be recommended pass and re-referred to Finance Committee. Senator Bach.
Mr. Chairman, do we need to make any reference on how the public members might be compensated? Or does that automatically happen?
Well, usually Senator Rest Committee does a pretty good job on that stuff. Doesn't look like any reference, though, does it?
Mr. Chair, that didn't actually come up, so I don't know the answer to that. If that's a standard procedure to have per diem or to not have it, I don't know. To have it for citizen members.
Mr. Watson?
Mr. Chairman, I think the general rule is that groups don't get compensated unless there is something in the law that says they should be compensated. And there are different rules depending on whether you are a board, an advisory council, or a task force. And I know boards don't get anything unless specifically mentioned. Whether task forces get something, I'm not sure, but it would be the statutory rate. Compensation for members of the legislature is your per diem rate unless the law says otherwise. So for the public members, it's a question of whether task force members get the $56 a day or not. And I can look it up in a minute.
Okay. Senator Burgum?
Mr. Chairman, I always thought if it was a statutory task force of a department, we had to provide an appropriation for expenses for public members, but I don't know of anyone that's ever gotten any public member. All the public members that have served with me on any legislative task force have been volunteers.
Okay, Mr. Watson's looking.
Mr. Chairman, I ask a question. Senator Anderson, every task force needs a little bit of staff assistance, probably, unless one of the volunteers elect to do that. Do you know who might provide that kind of work for this group?
Mr. Chair, Senator Senjum, on page 2, line 9, this says that the Commissioner of Commerce, in cooperation with the deed, shall provide staff support to the task force.
Thank you. I missed that.
No, that's a good question, Mr. Chair. We also suggest that they could accept outside resources because we think there may be either local governments or other private entities, foundations that would be interested in supporting the work of this task force as well.
Mr. Watson.
Mr. Chairman, as I indicated, a board doesn't get any compensation unless specifically authorized. That's also true of an advisory council that has to be specifically authorized, usually by reference to the general statute.
And likewise, that's true with a task force. For a task force that's created by the governor, they get no per diem, but they may be paid expenses.
So this is not just a task force appointed by the governor. So I believe they would not be entitled to any compensation or expenses unless it were specifically provided for. On the issue of the expenses, had you already discussed maybe before I arrived the provisions in the – do you want to talk about that here?
Mr. Chair, expenses, we haven't really discussed that issue either. We do have an appropriation set aside for this that comes out of an existing appropriation, to pay for the cost of the studies. So there is, if we needed to cover any expenses, we could certainly include that in the appropriation, I think.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure if you talked about this, but this same language is in the budget bill.
No, we don't. That's why we're doing this.
Right,
yes.
And it provides for that expenses.
So
out of a previous appropriation.
Oh.
The cost of the study.
The cost
if you
of
mean
study,
that,
but not reimbursement to members.
Correct.
Senator Bach.
Well, Mr. Chairman, I just think, if you're going to spend a bunch of time sitting around this table, members of the public and members of the legislature, it just seems unfair to me that members of the legislature would get their expenses and get per diem, but members of the public that are willing to serve get no reimbursement for it.
Senator Bach offers the following amendment. Mr. Watson.
Mr. Chairman, it would be on page 2 after line 13. Insert a new paragraph D. Members of the task force
shall be compensated as provided in section
Minnesota statute
section 15.059 subdivision 3. That's the one that provides the statutory rate of $55 a day.
Senator Box,
that's my motion, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Chairman.
Hey, Senator Frederickson. Mr. Watson.
I think Senator Frederickson was about to say members of the task force other than legislators.
Mr. Watson, I was going to suggest public members should be compensated.
Because legislators would be able to get their per diem. Okay, so with that change, Senator Olson, that's what Senator Box is offering.
Public members or all categories other than, because there's two members from the private sector. Then there are two categories that specifically say public members, as well as in the commissioner. So is it only the public members or from private sector? Would they? Is it all members other than, and we also have representatives of state agencies?
On 122, we probably should add two public members from the private sector. Sitbach incorporates that. And then I think the language probably just takes care of the state agency situation.
Well, Mr. Chair, I agree with you, Senator Olson. They need to be covered, but we certainly don't need to pay per diem to state agencies.
No, that members. Wouldn't. Yeah. I think the language works in that instance.
That sounds appropriate.
Okay, so on the Bach motion, that also includes adding the word public on line 1.22 to public members from the private sector. Or it could just say two public members appointed by the governor. Don't need from the private sector. Well, I suppose unless he decided to appoint another commissioner or something.
But, no, Mr. Chair, the qualifiers are there, one representing the utility industry and one the financial institution.
So, Mr. Watson, should we take out from the private sector?
Yes.
Okay, that's the Bach motion. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
All opposed.
Aye.
Motion adopted. Senator Frederickson renews his...
Mr.
Senator,
Chair.
Senator...
Mr. Chair, Senator, I noticed the expiration date's June 30th, 2009, and so I'm sitting here thinking about, you know, that's way too late for any budgetary consideration in the 2009 budget, and the following year being a bonding year, and does that make, and so really substantively, anything they recommend is probably going to go off into about like the 2011 session?
Mr. Chair, Senator Senjum, that's the expiration, the final expiration, but the date of the plan to the legislature and my hope would be the results of the studies is January 15, 2009.
Okay.
So that's on 2.14. So the idea is to have something to present to the legislature by next session at the very beginning of the legislative session, so that we could take up some of these ideas next year. That would be my hope. And then it would expire at the end of, after next legislative session. So it's really just a one-year process, but definitely we want to be able to discuss the results and have them in front of us next session.
Mr. Chair and Senator Anderson, I'm just trying to think about when the governor's budget is forwarded next year, as we convene, I suspect, in the first couple of days in January. I mean, it's up to you. It's not a great big deal, but if the report could be ready by then, I think it would be helpful to the executive.
Well, we have the date, Mr. Chair. The date we have is by January 15, 2009, to have the report.
Maybe Senator Anderson, that's in time. I don't know.
Is that enough?
I don't recall how soon after we get here the governor puts his budget forth.
It's usually 15.
Is it? Senator Berglund says February, so it'd be fine.
And he'll have people on this task force, so presumably he'd work some stuff in if he was inclined.
Well,
Senator Olson.
Mr. Chairman, this, I mean, what few months one way or the other, all that's required is that they have, they come up with a statewide action plan and the draft legislation, budget credits for transforming the whole economic system of the state. That shouldn't take that long, should it?
Senator Frederickson renews his motion. Senate file 3540 as amended be re-referred to the Finance Committee. Further discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed. Motion adopted. Thank you, Senator Anderson. Gentlemen, thank you. Senator Lynch, Senate file 2811. And Senator Lynch, we pretty much just need to focus on the makeup. And you can tell us what the group's going to do, but pretty much just focus on the makeup of what it is.
We have the right bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
I don't have anything. Got something about schools.
Do we have the wrong bill?
Is 2811 what we're supposed to be doing? It has to do with the trust funds? Yeah, okay.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chair. In 1998, the Office of the Legislative Auditor issued a report on permanent school trust fund lands. And as this bill and this has worked its way through committee, I said, have often commented that it took me a while to get to the Senate, but we are seeking to address the findings of that 1998 report. And this is part of an overall strategy with regard to permanent school trust fund lands. And if you'll allow me just a moment to talk about two specific provisions within the legislative auditor's report. And one was, I understand, taken care of and addressed last evening in the Education Finance Division, and that has to do with the proceeds of the Permanent School Trust Fund dollars. And members, I believe you have a chart that depicts this. The other portion of the report was with regard to the management of the Permanent School Trust Fund lands. And that's what Senate File 2811 specifically addresses. And among other things, the legislative auditor's report suggested that the overall oversight and management of the lands needed to be improved. Throughout the interim, we spent a great deal of time reviewing the report and meeting with DNR, meeting with education, meeting with our counterparts in the House, and I'm pleased to say that we've came up with a recommendation to further enhance the existing advisory committee. And so, members, you will see specifically on line 1.21 where it talks about this advisory committee. And we are here today because we are expanding the committee in terms of the numbers of legislators. There will be, it's the desire to have legislators, the chairs of both the education policy and the education finance divisions, as well as the, sorry, Mr. Chair, environment and natural resources. And so with that, I'm open for any questions.
Okay. Members of the legislative committee. Committee should be. Shouldn't the all these new public members, shouldn't there be confirmation by the Senate? Or something? I mean, you've got Commissioner of Natural Resources is appointing someone with forestry and real estate. And
Mr. Chair, if I may. I'm
or at least jointly appointed by the two chairs of the Education Committees or something?
Mr. Chair, I'll comment on what the intent was there, and the intent clearly was that one of the deficiencies of the current advisory committee is that we felt that to the extent to which we could bolster some of the expertise on that advisory committee would be most beneficial. And so that's where we came up with the on lines 2.10, where it talks about specific individuals who would have expertise in those given areas. But, Mr. Chair, I think you bring up a very good point. I'd be open to suggestions in that area.
How about appointments by the governor with confirmation by the Senate?
Well, I couldn't imagine it was related to this.
What's their authority? Do they have any authority? Does the group have any authority?
They're just making recommendations.
To the legislature? Do they have actual authority, or can they just make recommendations to the legislature? Or do they have actual authority?
Do you have to have any other in mind?
Mr. Chair, this is an advisory committee that makes recommendations through the legislative process.
How about if we do on 2.16, shall be appointed by the Commissioner of Natural Resources in consultation with the chairs of the appropriate committees with jurisdictional environment and natural resources, and the same for the education then, with consultation with the appropriate chairs of the education committees.
Mr. Chair, I would think that would be
so. It is the commissioner's appointment, but they're supposed to consult with the legislators with the jurisdiction. Mr. Watson?
So, Mr. Chairman, you're thinking of on line 2.14 for education, but with the advice and consultation of the chairs of the legislative committee.
With jurisdiction.
With jurisdiction over K-12 education policy and budget.
Correct.
And then on line 2.16 before the period, insert comma. Advice and consultation with
right
from the chairs of the legislative committees with jurisdiction over the environment and natural resources.
Sarah Clark makes that motion.
Or maybe after consulting with the advice and consultation?
With advice and consultation.
Okay.
Sarah Clark makes that motion. Discussion? Senator Lynch?
Mr. Chair, I would support that amendment. I want to just also call to members' attention on lines 2.16. We were, in developing this, really trying to get, trying to address that in some fashion, and with the language of members of the legislature shall be given the opportunity to recommend candidates for vacancies on the committee to the commissioners. So I think that further supports the intent that we were driving at. So thank you.
On the Clark motion, discussion.
Mr. Chair, could we have it read again? I was reading something else as it was.
Okay, Senator, Mr. Watson.
Mr. Chairman, on page 2, line 14, before the period insert, comma, with the advice of and after consultation with the chairs of the legislative committees with jurisdiction over K-12 education policy and budget. And then on page 2, line 16, before the period insert, comma, with the advice of and after consultation with the chairs of the legislative committees with jurisdiction over the environment and natural resources.
Further discussion on the Clark motion.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Sundrum.
Do we need then the sentence 216, 17, and 18 about members giving casual advice?
I think Senator Lynch thought that broadened it out to all members of the legislature.
Okay.
So she thinks the amendment kind of strengthens that attempt there. Senator Bedsold thinks it's too wordy, probably, but he's on the Finance Committee. So, On the Clark motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All
aye.
Opposed, motion adopted. He can clean it up if he thinks it's too wordy. Any further discussion? Okay. Senator Fredrickson.
Mr. Chairman, I've been reading what I think is kind of an unusual appointment. The Commissioner of the Commissioner of Education will appoint a superintendent, but then that superintendent can designate somebody else to be on the task force. Why don't we allow them just to appoint somebody else, so that may be what happened, or
we don't
just require the superintendent to be there. We need, I think it's unusual to
say. So you have to appoint a superintendent that's willing to serve.
It's not.
Yeah.
So let's take out the superintendent's designee.
Mr. Chairman, that would be more straightforward, I think.
Sir Lynch?
Mr. Chair, I think that would be appropriate.
Senator Fredrickson moves to delete on line 2.9. Senator Fredrickson is in two places?
Two places, yes.
Go ahead, Senator Fredrickson.
Mr. Chairman, I would move on lines 2.8 and 2.9, delete or the superintendent's designee.
Okay. On the Fredrickson motion, all in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed, motion adopted. Should be one of 300 and some superintendents that could do this. Okay, Senator Fredrickson then moves that Senate File 2811 as amended be recommended pass referred to the Committee on Finance. Discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Motion adopted. Thanks, Senator Lynch.
Mr. Chair, members, thank you.
Members, I think we're done. The meeting is adjourned.